I'm very happy now to welcome Mary Strong Jackson, Rand Lee, and Kazoo Manalo. They are all contributors to a book called Singing Underwater, an anthology of writings by the LifeLink Clubhouse members, staff, and volunteers. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. Now, this is a book of, well, prose and poetry. And tell us how it came about. What is the LifeLink Clubhouse?
Well, I'm the director of the LifeLink Clubhouse. It's a psychosocial rehab facility. It's a program of the LifeLink. We have our own location. And it's based on the Clubhouse philosophy, which clubhouses are all over the world. They've been around for over 60 years. And they're psychosocial rehab facilities for people who either are diagnosed with a mental illness, our particular one, either diagnosed with a mental illness and or in drug and alcohol recovery.
So when you say clubhouse, this is a place where people come but they don't live.
Correct. We're open for clients who we call members of the clubhouse from 9 to 3 Monday through Friday. And they have to be a client of the LifeLink, which means they have to have done an intake at the LifeLink. But otherwise, we might be the only service that they're using. And we have all kinds of groups. We're based on the work order day 9 to 3. We help people with resumes. They cook. They learn life skills, social skills. We have groups, yoga, and we do all kinds of things. And this book was just one of those wonderful creations.
And the writing.
Yeah, we have a writing group, yes.
And trips. Don't forget the trips.
We go up to see the Aspens. We do all kinds of different things. It's really a safe, calm, welcoming place for people that have lived with the stigma of mental illness for their whole lives.
So what's interesting to me about this is that, I mean, you've got the staff and you've got the clients, but when you come together like this, it kind of equalizes people.
Absolutely. I mean, our goal is that if you came in, you couldn't tell who's client and who's staff. We have clients that lead groups. And, I mean, we have such a diverse, wonderful group of people that have so many skills to share that we're all there learning together.
So let's talk about the writing process. I imagine that for anybody and whatever their mental illness is or substance abuse or the economic problems and all the fallout from that we have so much of here in this society, that writing in itself is a type of therapy, and I wondered how each of you experienced that.
Well, for me, writing was my only escape from an unbearable family situation when I was a child. My mother was an alcoholic, my dad was a compulsive eater, as I am, and there's a lot of emotional abuse in the house, and also covert molestation from the mother. And so the way I escaped was by reading and then trying to write things that were as cool as the things I was reading. It's mostly science fiction, fantasy, things like that. And so writing for me has always been the thing I turn to when I feel I have to say something and nobody wants to hear it. And I do it through my characters and my fiction. And it helps me slightly stand back from what's going on. And sometimes I don't even know till after a piece is done what it's been about for me personally.
I think that happens to a lot of people. It's a very interesting part of the creative process. Now, you wrote a piece in here about the death of your brother.
Yes.
And it's a very kind of painful piece to read because the relationship that you have or had with your own mother and the family dynamic is portrayed in a way that just, I don't know, breaks one's heart.
Well, what I didn't realize until I came to LifeLink seeking help some years ago was that mental illness has nothing to do with intelligence, education, ethnic background, gender, sexual orientation, none of that. And I'd always had those. I figured, I had some cousins who were certified nut cases. They were schizophrenics, and I figured, well, I'm not like that. And then I found out that, yes, I'm as nutty as anybody. And, in fact, in some areas, more so. I suffer often from agoraphobia, PTSD, and all that stuff. And I realized as I was getting fatter and fatter and leaving the house less and less that I couldn't think my way out of this. I needed some sort of group support and individual support. And the thing I love about the clubhouse is that it's a safe place. You know, and you don't have to say anything. You can just sit, read, do nothing, stare into space. Doesn't matter. It's always a place I can go when everything feels as though it's falling apart.
Now, you, Kazoo, have also participated in this writing group, and you've got work in this book. We're talking about the book Singing Underwater. What is the writing process like for you?
I feel like I'm touching the universe, and something strange is happening. I just write, and it comes out, and then I edit it and put it, you know, into some semblance of a coherent story or a poem or whatever I'm writing. So I think the part about it that gives me the most enjoyment is I feel like I'm tapping into the universe.
There's a story that you wrote about a little boy and his grandmother's, the smell of his grandmother's bread. And that's I take it a work of fiction?
Yes.
And then it turned out that the little boy had done a horrible thing and wasn't really in touch with that. Did that story come from somewhere? Do you know where it came from?
Yeah, my grandfather was a very serious and somewhat sadistic person. And one of my brothers tortured a pig and threw it in the outhouse, and my grandfather tied his bow whip around his neck and put him into the outhouse and pulled him out with each piglet that they had thrown in there, and then he whipped him and made him sleep in the barn. So that's where the story came from.
Now, Mary, let's talk about the process for you, not only of writing, but putting the book together.
Well, writing's always been very important to me since my 30s, when I was a stay-at-home mom with three kids, and it was a way to validate my own life. And I realized, partly just my love of writing is what encouraged me to facilitate a writing class at the clubhouse. And it's just grown, and I thought how wonderful it would be for people to see their work in print in a really nice-looking book. And it was a long process, but we have the artwork is one of our members, the cover, the poetry editor is a member. I mean, all of the people, the collaboration came together, and it was long and hard and difficult, but I'm just really proud of this book.
And you had a reading, which unfortunately we missed, that was recently at Opposite Books, and copies of the book are available there.
Correct.
Now, would everybody like to maybe read just a bit from their own work?
Sure.
Do you want to go first, Mary?
Okay. This is a poem that I wrote some years ago. It's called Longing for the Light. It begins with an epigraph from Leonard Cohen. There is a crack in everything. That's where the light gets in. Longing for the light. His brother sits in his room all day. Their father says it is because of war. The boy thinks of the bird's eye, wet with something, and wonders if his brother saw the eye of someone he killed, and if it was wet, and if the person looked at his brother like the bird had looked at him. The brother says that America is in two wars without end. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father Maximus says, without end means there are no accidents. There are no accidents, his brother says. We have done this on purpose.
That is Mary Strong Jackson, and you're the editor of the book.
I am the one of the editors. We had a poetry editor that's a member and a prose editor that helped decide.
Manala, would you like to read one
sure.
of your pieces?
This is from Loaves of Forgiveness. Jorge loved his grandmother's bread. He sprang from his bed, dressed, and ran down to the kitchen. He had not given his stern grandfather one single thought. He was purely motivated by the heavenly aroma coming from the kitchen. He ran through the house. The cat followed with haste. Whatever fell on the floor went to the cat.
It could be a marvelous lump of butter, or even just a lovely piece of bread crust. Jorge and the cat joined his grandfather in the kitchen, his grandmother in the kitchen. There was no sign of the grandfather. Was the punishment over for little Jorge? The winter light now filled the entire kitchen. The mirror over the hutch sparkled. Dishes for breakfast sat on the hutch. The bread in the oven, the bacon on the stove, along with the fried eggs, everything was ready. The chili sauce was already on the table. Chili is always the first thing to go on the table, and there's it with every meal. Jorge was in his seat, ready for a meal for his growling stomach. Suddenly, like a gunshot, a loud crack broke the mood. Clack, clack, clack. That's the sound of Grandpa's boots on the wooden floor. He's up for the day and coming to breakfast. Jorge sank into his seat. The hunger was unbearable. How could this little boy be so full of the devil? He tortured a piglet. Never mind, he was focused on the food. Grandpa's beatings had just become commonplace. He did not fear the old man. The hunger pains were all his young mind could hold.
That story was so poignant to me because it speaks to the disconnect between the grandfather's cruelty and his not being able to relate it to the cruelty of the grandson.
Right, right. It's definitely, there's a cycle there.
Yeah. Randley, would you like to read something from your work?
Yeah, this is, my piece is called Singing Underwater. Some nights I sit up on my futon long past 12, legs covered by the comforter my mother bought me. She died a year and a half after my brother Jeffrey of complications following a drunken fall in the middle of the night. I watch the sleeping form of my blind husky mongrel Moon Pie. He is as white as laundry in the light from the street lamps, and utterly, deeply still, so deeply still that I can discern no rise and fall to his chest. I got Moon Pie from the Santa Fe Pound 8 months after my lover Alex's wolf dog Kaz was killed by a hit and run, 12 months after my lover killed himself, 2 years after my lover and I came to Santa Fe, the week my older brother Tony dropped dead of a heart attack while jogging in Virginia, 1 year before Jeffrey took his last AIDS ambulance ride. Moon sustains me, and I watch him sleep when I cannot, because he goes where Jeffrey is, and I want to know the moment he decides to stay for good and not come back. While Moon lives, I will live. I have promised it to him and to myself.
Randley, and these are all pieces from the anthology Singing Underwater. Now, how is this book getting out into the world? Are you bringing it beyond Santa Fe, or what's the life of the book now?
Well, we have done the we did a reading at the clubhouse, a reading at Opsit, and it is available on Amazon. And you know, we encouraged all of our authors to promote it to all their Facebook, you know, connections any way that we can. So far that's where we're at.
You have to look for Underwater's two words. If you
to
Amazon, it's not one word.
Singing Underwater, right. And what has it been like for all of you to have your work published in this way?
It's been a great experience working with the other people, and we all got a chance to do our own little bit with the editing, and working together as a group was, you know, very good. Good experience.
I was thrilled when Mary asked me if I wanted to contribute something. And when they decided to use the title of my piece for the title of the book, I was floored. And I was terrified. I didn't expect that I'd be scared to write as myself, not couching it in fictional terms. So it's been quite an experience.
You usually write fiction, and was this the first time you've written more of a kind of memoir type of piece?
It's actually the second time. The only other time was something that appeared in Literary Review years ago. But I don't write directly about my life very much, and so this was a challenge.
You have dealt so much with death of loved ones and complicated, difficult deaths of loved ones. particularly your mother, who, as you say, died of complications from an alcoholic from falling down. Are you able to help others, let's say in the clubhouse, who are dealing with some kinds of loss?
I haven't connected to anybody in the clubhouse in that way. I tend to be very solitary. And also, because I'm not a trained counselor, I don't know how I would help them. But I do have other people that I've helped, mostly by learning to feel the grief, because one of the reasons I became over 360 pounds was that I was eating my feelings into numbness, because I couldn't bear to feel the grief, the shame, the pain, and the guilt of what had happened, that I survived and all these people didn't. So what I found, the clubhouse for me is a place where I can just be there. And I'm hoping that maybe I'll be able to be of use there, but right now I'm being very selfish.
What about you, Kazoo?
I get a lot out of going to the clubhouse, and I think people come up to me and ask for help, which is, you know, a hard thing for some people, but when you're in that environment, people come up and they say, you know, I really need a ride to my doctor's office, and I know you have a car, and nobody else has a car here, and could you take me? And so I usually help out, and we have conversations about why they're going to the doctor. People open up to me a lot there.
It's just almost time to go, but is there anything that you want to add, Mary?
Well, I just wanted to add that what we've read today is very serious and sometimes hard to hear, but there's other writing in the anthology, you know, lighter reading. And I also want to express that the clubhouse, you know, even though people are there because of a lot of pain in their life, it's a joyous place. And we laugh a lot, and people are able to share their skills and support with others. And, you know, if anyone would like to come visit us, they're welcome.
How do they do that?
Just call me at the clubhouse, and we're open 9 to 3. They can actually just drop by and visit any time.
So it's a kind of a drop-in?
Well, you know, if you want to inquire about becoming a member, you can come check it out for a day, and then I can fill you in with how the process works.
So how do they reach you?
The number is 438-9737, and we're on 1318 Luana Street.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you all very much for being with us at the Radio Cafe, Mary Strong Jackson, Rand Lee, and Kazoo Manolo, all of whom are in the anthology Singing Underwater. It's an anthology of writings by the LifeLink Clubhouse members, staff, and volunteers. The book is available at Opposite Books here in Santa Fe. And lots of other people who are in this book as well, so definitely check it out. And thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.